Enough of that Chris Towers guy. I'm back. Adam Azer here on Tuesday, August 18th with the... Oh, Chris Towers is here.
Yep. I'm not going anywhere. Sorry. I'm really sorry about that. I should stop showing up to work. It would really...
Oh, we love you, Chris. And Al Melchior is here. What's up, Al?
Well, it's going to be my move. Don't steal my move to not show up for work.
Wow. Sorry.
Jeez. Just me and Scott then going forward? Maybe throw Heath on there? Oh, we'll
Perhaps.
Figure it out.
If I could get paid to not come to work, if we could figure out some kind of arrangement like that.
Work from home.
Down for that.
Yeah. Well, everybody, welcome to Fantasy Baseball today. It is Tuesday. Watch Daily Fantasy live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time with Ryan Bass and Heath Cummings and somebody else randomly selected from a random number generator. I think that's
Pretty
how we do
yeah.
it these days. Watch that. We'll help you out with your FanDuel lineups, any other DFS lineups you might have. Today, we'll talk about some injuries you need to catch up on. Who can you trust going down the stretch? Can you trust Cole Hamels? How about Scott Kazmir, Garrett Cole? They've been bad. Chris Heston, you never know with him. But we're going to start with our stat of the day, which Al alerted me to. It was a tweet from Buster Olney and a stat from Elias Sports Bureau. So I've given a lot of people credit for this stat of the day. St. Louis is 44-37 this season. That's a .543 winning percentage. When they score four runs or fewer, that percentage would be the highest percentage in a single season since 1961. And if you look at their starting pitchers, Michael Wacha, 16th best starting pitcher in fantasy. John Lackey, top 22. Carlos Martinez, top 24. Lance Lynn, 32nd in Roto, 45th in points, probably because lower innings total. And Jaime Garcia has been awesome. So, what does that say, guys, about fantasy baseball and the Cardinals?
Well, it relates to something I brought up on the podcast yesterday, talking about Michael Wacha's value really being tied to wins. And pretty much as soon as that statement came out of my mouth, I realized I kind of had the logic backwards, because the Cardinals aren't really an offensive juggernaut this year, and they're a winning team more because of the pitching than the hitting. And now with Grichuk on the DL, Hayward's hurt. That's not going to help.
But they have the best bullpen ERA in baseball.
That is going to help, and that is going to help preserve some wins. But, I have to wonder, in a one-day 180 turnaround, maybe we should be a little worried about the Cardinals pitchers.
I'm just stunned that John Lackey's been the second best of the bunch.
Well, he has been best in Roto.
Yeah.
Basically, he and Martinez are essentially tied.
I feel like we haven't talked about John Lackey at all this season.
Well, we have. The ballpark change was obviously good for him. We just haven't talked about him on the Chris Towers episodes, I guess.
I guess.
You're not on enough. That must be it. So I think, having that bullpen ERA being what it is, best in baseball, it does really help the pitchers a lot, and especially Wacha. Because if you look at the top 16 pitchers, guys, he's thrown the fewest innings of any of those 16. And they really are coming off, was a shoulder injury last year for Wacha?
Yes.
They're really being cautious with him.
I actually asked him about it at the All-Star break. He didn't even really know what his injury was.
Well, whatever it was, they've been cautious with him. They haven't, limited his starts or anything, but they limit his innings. So he is really a product, I think, of 6-7 good innings and then lights out bullpen.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Lackey, and just pulling up his numbers, his ratios, they look actually, other than the ground ball rate, pretty similar to Jaime Garcia's. And, neither one's certainly a bad pitcher, but both have strand rates that are in excess of 80%, which is crazy high. So I think you look at the Cardinals and their record and you think they're, some kind of powerhouse. And yet it's resting on the shoulders of their rotation and the bullpen. But, I just have to wonder how much regression we'll see the next month and a half.
You know what helps a lot in that regard? The number 5 defense in baseball.
That helps some.
I gotta tell Al, what happened to you this morning? What a downer way to start the show. I thought I did not see this conversation heading in that direction.
Oh well, if I told you it was going this direction, maybe we wouldn't have had it. So
he was poo-pooing Jaime Garcia yesterday. So this is just. This is a continuation of Al Melchior's old ways.
Well, it's funny. I didn't get to that point of the podcast, so I listened to about 25 minutes or so.
And you couldn't take it anymore.
No. Well, actually, that's kind of true, and here's why. Because I was trying to catch up, and I was listening to it in 1.5 speed, which is really funny. It speeds you guys up quite a bit. And it's very effective. Like, you hear everything.
Does it pitch correct? Or do we all sound a little chipmunky?
Not that bad, actually. I think if I sped it up a little bit more, you'd be more chipmunky. It just sounds like you guys are talking really fast. And it really helps, like, get a lot of information in a short amount of time because podcasts are long. But
what
it's
if you
kind of annoying.
Listen to us in auto-tune?
That would be, Jaime Garcia.
I think my computer might have that function, actually.
Well, if there is one pitcher I'd actually be worried about, it's Carlos Martinez, just because of the innings, actually.
Yeah, I'm worried about a late season fade for him, and I think we've mentioned it a couple times in the last week or so, but I'm definitely concerned with that.
Got a lot of energy today, guys. Get ready. I'm rested.
He's got a lot of energy.
Oh, you do too, Chris?
Oh, I was just asking.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, I haven't been on this baseball podcast since Thursday, so I'm prepared
to bring
it.
It's good. Start doing some jumping jacks.
The big news, this is not fantasy relevant, but we wish the best to Brian Mitchell, Yankees starting pitcher, hit in the face by a comebacker, and he has a nasal fracture. Could have been worse. Scary scene, but kind of threw the Yankees into disarray yesterday. That'd go in. They used every available pitcher yesterday in 9 innings. and CeCe Sabathia had his start pushback. Jason Hayward, as Al mentioned, he left last night's game with hamstring tightness, and Tommy Pham replaced him. And Randall Grichuk is on the DL with an elbow strain. He's expected to miss 15 to 20 games, according to KMOX Sports. So, you know, already Colton Wong struggling. Not a great situation. We don't know what Hayward's status is, but injuries there for the Cardinals. Giancarlo Stanton swung a bat. All right. Mark Teixeira, x-rays were negative. He fouled the ball off his leg. Greg Bird replaced him. I imagine Bird would get fairly regular playing time, at least against righties, if Teixeira's out, but that's not set in stone or anything. We'll see what happens with Tex. Mike Leake, not going to come off the DL today. Still recovering from the hamstring injury. Shouldn't be too much longer. Hanley Ramirez is back, guys. Jackie Bradley Jr. stayed in the lineup. Rusne Castillo sat. The Red Sox didn't hit much against Danny Salazar. But if you like Jackie Bradley, that was a good sign.
But no, it's a very good sign. So hopefully he can continue to hit.
And continue to play. Pablo Sandoval return. Aaron Hicks homered off a righty. And today he faces one of the most hittable lefties, if you're a right-handed batter, in baseball. Jason Kipnis could be back today. Michael Brantley returned to the lineup. And crickets invaded the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast booth last night during the Cardinals-Giants game. I wish I had heard that one.
I'm trying to think of like a Pinocchio reference, but it's been too long since I've seen that movie, so we'll just move on.
Same here. FanDuel. So I haven't played FanDuel since Thursday. I'm anxious to get back out there. FanDuel, you keep on making Clayton Kershaw more and more expensive, and it's making things pretty difficult for us. But today we're giving out $5 in cash to two people who tweet me at Adam Azer. Two of you will be randomly selected. Tweet me at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, $5 in FanDuel cash for you. And sign up right now to play fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. One day fantasy baseball. Every day you wait could have been a win. And entry fees start at just $1, so it's not a big financial commitment, not a big time commitment, no sign-up fees. And FanDuel's given out a lot of money, paying out $2.5 million every day all summer long. Get on there, sign up now, and use our offer code CBSPOD. If you want your deposit match dollar for dollar up to $200, use that offer code CBSPOD, and that gets earned as you play. Time for a Billy Joel song. It's a matter of trust. Tell me how much you trust these guys. Chris Heston, since Al loves Billy Joel so much, we'll start with you. Chris Heston.
I like Billy Joel and Chris Heston about the same. You know, they've had some really great hits, but they've also, you know, they've also bombed at times.
Yeah, that is true.
So is Chris Heston's no-hitter like his scenes from an Italian restaurant?
Bingo.
That's a good call. That is, I would, maybe his Piano Man, but people seem to like scenes from an Italian restaurant better. Yeah, Heston, kind of weird. His home road splits are very dramatic. 2.48 at home, 4.28 ERA on the road. Is he more of a home road guy? I think we talked about this last time, or more of just a matchups guy?
I thought he was more of a venues guy, but you know, this start definitely doesn't fit that pattern because it should have been a good start for him. Maybe home road. I guess I can look that up. That's why we have the internet.
Well, I just said the stats, Al. That's why you have the notes, my man.
That's why I have the notes. Why I should listen.
I mean, Giants pitchers, since they've moved to AT&T Park, have, not all of them, obviously, but there's been a trend of them outperforming their peripherals. And the biggest example of that was Matt Cain for years outperformed his FIP and XFIP. And I think a lot of that is to do with AT&T Park. So I think home road plays a pretty big factor in it.
All right, well, let's go through Chris Heston's upcoming schedule. And you guys tell me how you're feeling about him right now. Because I honestly, especially in a 10-team league, I'd have no problem dropping Chris Heston. But I might be, you know,
did
in the
you
minority.
Say 10-team?
Yeah, in a 10-team league.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I would consider doing it in a 12-team.
Oh, okay, good. So would I. But he's 92% owned, so I feel like, Al, you and I are in the minority. Anyway, at Pittsburgh, I'm probably not going to want to start him there, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I mean, if that were part of a two-start week, it wouldn't discourage me.
Which it is.
I did sit him this week, even though it is a two-start week.
All right, sorry, I'm just pulling up his schedule here. At Pittsburgh, how are you guys today? How's it going?
I'm fine. I had to wake up a little early today. My cat started attacking my face. Not like maliciously, she was just like pawing at it. And I could only throw her off the bed so many times before I had to just get up.
At Pittsburgh, yeah, that's classic cat story. At Pittsburgh, home against Chicago. At the Dodgers.
At the Dodgers.
At Colorado, don't like them there.
Yeah, I don't think I'm starting Chris Heston for many weeks.
San Diego at home, Arizona at home down the stretch. At maybe at Oakland, might get a start at Oakland. Actually, September looks pretty decent for him. So,
yeah, after the Colorado start, going against San Diego. Going against San Diego, going against Oakland are two good starts, but then he's probably going to face the Dodgers or Rockies to close out the season. There might only be two or three opportunities to start him down the stretch.
Oh my goodness, do you trust Cole Hamels, the horrible Cole Hamels?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, is this a trustometer? Is there,
sure.
You know,
sure,
or is this just a switch that we're flipping on off?
It's a binary.
Well, yeah, all right, fine. Let's trustometer it. 0 to 10. 10 is complete trust. 0
yeah,
is
so
no way.
Hamels is an 8 for me.
I think if
I'm
there's a concern,
worried.
I saw one quote where he said something like, it doesn't matter how I feel, I have to pitch better, basically. And this start last night, 3 runs in 7 innings, but 4 walks. Also, apparently there were a lot of great defensive plays. I know a runner was thrown out at home plate in the 7th. Beltre apparently had a nice day in the field. So it wasn't a very good start. And remember, he had his last start skipped, or he, you know, pushed back because of an injury. So I don't know that he's 100% healthy, but there's no way you can sit Cole Hamels, right?
No, there's not, which is why I put him at an 8. And if you go back to the on-off switch, I'm putting it on. I trust him.
Scott Kazmir has not pitched 6 innings in any of his last 3 starts. Last night was pretty bad. I guess there's a reason to worry. If there's a reason to worry about Kazmir, it's that he doesn't have a track record of pitching this many innings. Right now, Kazmir's at 141. You know, pitching more than like 155. And last year was his first season pitching more than 158 since 07, and Kazmir had a 780 ERA in August and a 435 ERA in September.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a worry for me. So is the fact that when he was with the A's this year, that he had much, much better splits at home, and I worried about him going to Houston.
So yeah. What do you guys think? Do you trust him down the stretch? Would you feel good about having him on your team right now? Scott Kazmir?
I would say I'm at a 5 on the tristometer.
I'd say, yeah, I'm also at a 5.
All right, next up, Garrett Cole. Zeros?
Zeros.
No.
Oh, no, 10. I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were, like, trolling us or something. Yes,
no,
a 10.
I was on the worryometer.
I'm not worried. I do trust him. He's been amazing. The peripherals back it up. Actually a reverse splits guy this season, which I discovered last week, which is a very interesting and pretty promising thing.
Yeah, and Cole, 470 ERA in his last 4 starts, 394 BABIP there.
I think we're being invaded by crickets.
Oh, wow. Yes. Do you have an app for that, Al?
No, those are actual crickets.
Oh.
She's got a little box.
Like, what's the app? I really would like to know.
It's called Crickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like a general sound effects app. I want to tell you guys about the most unfair rule of all time. And I really hope the commissioner's not listening. I'm a big fan of the commissioner. Very nice guy. This is an office league. But I just found out about this rule because the playoffs start this week. You know, they started yesterday. The higher seed in the playoffs, it's a 16-team league. I think 8 teams, maybe 6 teams make the playoffs. The higher seed gets to start an extra utility player in a points league.
That is an unusual rule.
Unfair. The most unfair rule of all time. Now, I'm the number one seed, Jamie Eisenberg and I. We have the number one seed, so we will always be able to start an extra utility player. I'm not even sure I want to do it. I feel so bad doing it.
Well, you know, and I guess it could theoretically work against you if you pick really badly.
No, there's no way. You can't get a zero. Like, you'd have to pick so badly. It's a weekly scoring league, points. You're not going to get a zero.
Don't feel bad about it. Flags fly forever.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll do it. I just needed to hear it from you guys.
Everybody knew this getting into.
No, we did it. Nobody even saw it.
The league rules were collectively bargained.
Nobody even knew about it. I didn't even. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Ignorance is not a defense.
I guess not. Now, are there other clever ways to give advantages to the higher seeds, you know, other than buys, which we also have?
Yeah, I was going to say the bye week so that you can get all rested. I guess. I've never heard of anything like this. I have to admit, I kind of like it.
Give it an extra player? That's so unfair.
Reward for
take away some of the randomness of a weekly scoring playoff.
Oh my gosh, no, you can't do that. You can't let them have an extra player. I mean, this happens to be a 16-team
league. Sure you can. They're doing it already.
It's like September call-ups. Who likes September call-ups?
I do.
Fantasy players.
But don't you think every team should have, like, some teams bring up so many more players than the other teams. It's such an advantage. The big market teams have such an advantage in September call-ups.
That's a big market thing? I thought that was more of a, you know, teams that are out of it and...
I mean, it costs money, so I imagine the big market teams, I thought the big market teams do more of it. Fine, it doesn't matter. It's kind of crazy that teams play different rules.
And take different your rosters. W.
All right, fine, I won't feel bad about it. Monday standouts, who'd you guys want to talk about?
How about DeVaris Gordon? Also known as D.
Oh. I had no idea who you were talking
about. I was like, am I really? I thought I was paying attention.
Me too.
that's funny. I thought that was more widely known. He's rebounding a bit of late, but I think that there's just always, I don't know, maybe it's because we tend to get the negative emails and Twitter questions, but it just seems like there's always this cloud of doubt over D. Gordon, and I'm not sure what it's going to take because I think he's a guy that's going to consistently hit for average. Obviously, the steals are going to be there. I don't think this should be that much of a surprise, and I don't think you should ever sit D. Gordon.
I don't think you should ever sit him, even since I think since the start of May, he got off to such a ridiculous start. He was hitting .409 in April. I think he's still like the number 5 second baseman since then. So I don't think you should sit him, but. You know, I guess it's gone up because he has 5 hits in his last 2 games. But before that, since coming off the DL, he was only hitting .269. So I think there is some reason to be concerned, as far as him being like a 300 hitter. And if he's not a 300 hitter, it's fair to wonder how much he's going to help you.
Well, and I guess that's it. And by the way, this isn't, I mean, I think people probably think about sitting him and they don't actually do it because he's being started in 93% of leagues right now. But, see, that's the thing. I mean, he had a really bad month of July, which is skewing the stat that you're citing. And I understand it all counts, but you know, it is his two full seasons, his last two seasons of the majors, a 289 average last year, 331 this year. His first year, which was, you know, a partial year, a 304 average. And then he had the two in between, you know, where, you know, there was one year, you know, 2012, where he batted 228. And I just remember thinking at that time, this guy has too much of a speed game to have a BABIP this low. I mean, to me, that was the outlier. And yet it seems like that gets magnified.
Well, after the All-Star break last year, D. Gordon still batted 284, but he had four walks, 47 strikeouts. Yeah. I think people might remember that, and they could be worried about him. As a D. Gordon owner, my only concern is no Yelich, still no Stanton. Ozuna's been terrible. How much of an effect is that going to have on him? Is he going to score enough runs? Is he going to get on base enough? Is he going to get fewer good pitches to hit just because their lineup is so terrible now? I don't know how it's played out, but I like everyone better with Stanton hitting behind them, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's fair, but it just seems like we wonder, we worry about this so often when we have a hitter on a team that's got a subpar offense. You know, Freddie Freeman back in the spring, we had all sorts of concerns about him. And it just seems more often than not that players who, you know, have good skills, they find a way to maintain most, if not all, of their value. And I think Gordon has done that this year.
Chris, standouts for you?
I like seeing Carlos Rodon start to figure things out again.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because I want to crap all over that. It's been two starts. He gave up two home runs and three walks in this one. He is facing one of the coldest teams in baseball, and both of those good starts have come against that same team, the Angels, who have the seventh lowest OPS in the league. In baseball, not just the AL, against left-handed pitchers.
Well, you know, let's talk about a little chicken and egg situation, because, you know, part of the reason that they're cold, they faced Carlos Rodon twice in the last week.
They've also faced John Danks. I mean, this is, you know, how many times have I thought about starting Angels and FanDuel, like Mike Trout? Oh, he's going to have a huge game. He's ice cold.
Yeah.
They're hitting like garbage right now.
Yeah. I would just say that with someone with Carlos Rodon's talent, with his peripherals, even with the high walk rate, even with the high whip, he's got a really solid FIP for the season, because he gets ground balls, he gets strikeouts. And so any signs of progress from him, any signs of positivity, I think should be magnified because the upside is so much higher.
Well, there's no disputing that, and actually, there were two rookie pitchers. They faced each other, Rodon and Andrew Heaney, and they both had good starts. But I saw them in a different light. I explain why with Rodon. Now, with Heaney, six innings, one run on five hits, one walk, four strikeouts. First time he threw 100 pitches. He threw exactly 100 pitches. And with Heaney, guys, it's like, I don't really know what to do with him, because he doesn't really pitch that poorly, but he doesn't go deep into games. And his strikeout totals are low. We're talking five straight starts of six innings or less and four strikeouts or less. So yeah. I don't know how valuable that type of player is.
I'm with you. I mean, he's right now pitching like a guy who's one of those really sturdy, solid two start guys that you pick up if they're available, but he's not. So he doesn't really, I guess you stash him and you wait for the two start weeks if it's a 12-team mixed league.
Would you rather have Andrew Heaney or Chris Tillman, who's also not striking anybody out?
Heaney.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I'll give a slight edge to Tillman. They're pretty comparable.
I'm sorry, Al. Heaney or Rodon?
Rodon.
I'll go Heaney. Rodon clearly with the higher upside. Nice that he's got back-to-back good starts. But, it would be nice to see Salazar-type consistency. That's a weird sentence to say.
Rodon or Patrick Corbin?
Corbin.
Yeah.
Carlos Beltran, guys. Carlos Beltran is 48% owned, and since coming off the DL in July, he is batting .293 with a .398 on base, .627 slugging percentage, six home runs in 23 games. In April, Beltran batted .162. Since May 1st, An OPS just below 900, 297, 362 on base, 534 slugging. Very bad batting average with runners in scoring position, so the RBI haven't been that good. I don't really know how to think of Carlos Beltran. I feel like he hasn't really been that good for fantasy this year. But how about that, you know, 896 OPS since May 1st? Can't really argue with that. 48% owned.
No, you can't. I just think he's very underowned. And it's funny because we all do have this perception that he's not all that viable for fantasy, but you take out that month of April that you mentioned, and it's really hard to make that argument.
Preston Tucker or Carlos Beltran?
Beltran?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the week. There's just too many weeks where it's hard to start Tucker. But certainly when he's facing mostly righties, I would rather start him than Beltran.
How about Jorge Soler or Carlos Beltran?
I think I'd take Beltran.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay, last one. Ben Paulson.
He's fine at home. I don't know. Like, I've seen very little from him that makes me think that he's in every day, every week fantasy player, but if they've got a lot of games at home, sure, start him.
Well, I meant Paulson or Beltran.
Oh.
But that's fine. I'll take the impromptu analysis.
I'll go Beltran.
I'll go Beltran.
Piggyback on Chris's analysis.
All right, works for me. Here is a segment called Widely Available Players Who Could Help Your Fantasy Teams. Tell me how you feel about these guys. Steven Piscotty, 25% owned. Danny Valencia, 13% owned. Colin Ray, 12% owned. Derek Dietrich, 5% owned. Piscotty, Valencia, Ray, Dietrich.
I really like Piscotty and Dietrich. I don't know, especially Dietrich, I don't know why he is so unowned.
Yeah, I think it's the at-bats, Al.
They've been there.
Well, I don't know. I don't get it. Because if you look at, just go to his player page, Derek Dietrich, and look at his weekly fantasy points. Maybe he's better in Roto, but it's just not that impressive.
I think he's definitely someone who's going to be better in Roto. He's going to strike out a decent amount. He doesn't walk a ton. He's got a fine walk rate, but it's actually weirdly he's got a fine on base percentage, but I believe he's been hit by 9 pitches in 160 at plate appearances. And you do get fantasy points for a hit by pitch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the pitchers
that's good,
like
but
it.
I don't know how sustainable it is. But I think he definitely needs to be owned in more than 5% of leagues. It makes me wonder if every fantasy player is in the Marlins front office, and that's why they don't like Derek Dietrich.
So, Al, Steven Piscotty, does that make you a little happier about the Cardinals? I mean, this is a nice development.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I think he can carry them on his back. But I'm really encouraged by what Piscotty has done. And we even saw a home run the other night from him. But even if there's not a lot of power, which, you know, given that most of his minor league career, he's not been a big power hitter, I could live with that. But just the way that he's getting on base, I think, is helpful enough that, you know, he could be owned in twice as many leagues.
Three up, none down, zero man rotation. We've covered most of yesterday's stuff. But here's three up. A couple of third basemen for you. Trevor Plouffe, 86% owned, top 12 third baseman this year. Now, typically he's a streaky guy, but he's kept it going this year. And Pedro Alvarez, number 23rd baseman in points leagues, with number 15 in Roto, 68% owned. Last 7 games, Alvarez is 12 for 21 with 4 homers, 6 RBI, no walks, 8 strikeouts, 2 doubles. Anything to say about Plouffe or Alvarez? Who do you like better rest of season?
Plouffe.
I agree, Plouffe.
Anything else to say about Plouffe or Alvarez?
The problem with Alvarez, and I think this is, I view him a lot like I would view Chris Carter if he ever had like a good 5-game stretch, is that that's not necessarily indicative of what's going to happen in the future. You know, they're so streaky that like you want to ride them while they're hot, but it's hard to tell when that's going to turn back into another cold streak.
As Drubal Cabrera, Al, you talked about him a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. He's now 46% owned in August. Cabrera has an OPS over 1,200. He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. 46%.
He's got like a 600 BABIP since coming back off the DL. It's crazy.
All right, so tell me where you see Asdrubal Cabrera rest of season, and are you rushing to pick him up?
I wouldn't say exactly rushing, but I've certainly looked into it, and I think he can be owned in 12-team mixed leagues now, which up until a few weeks ago, that would have been just a ridiculous idea to me because he really had done very little. But it's not so much the batting average, because Chris mentioned the very high BABIP, but the fact that he's getting the extra base hits.
Yep.
I find that really encouraging. It's great to see from any shortstop. It's really good to see from somebody who'd had a history of power hitting and then it just sort of evaporated for no apparent reason.
Yeah, 8 extra base hits in 71 plate appearances since coming off the disabled list. And he's only striking out in 14% of his plate appearances, so there's some hope that he can sustain a reasonably high batting average even when his BABIP comes down from the stratosphere.
Would you rather have Asdrubal Cabrera or Jed Lowry?
I'd rather have Lowry.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien.
Versus Cabrera?
Yeah.
Boy, that's tough. I think I'd go Asdrubal.
Yeah, I think Asdrubal.
How about Alexi Ramirez, or is Drubal?
Yeah,
it's Drubal. All right. Fringy starting pitchers. How do you rank these four guys who pitched yesterday? Tillman, Rodon, Kyle Gibson, Erasmo Ramirez.
Some of my favorites. I'm gonna put Tillman at the top. Erasmo, speaking of things evaporating, I don't know what happened to the strikeouts. That was fun while that lasted.
Yeah.
so I guess Tillman, Rodon, Erasmo Gibson.
Yeah.
Do you want to own Erasmo Ramirez or Kyle Gibson, or are you pretty much done with them?
No, I'd be good with owning all of them. I mean, I'm pretty disappointed with what Gibson's done for the past, month and a half. And in this particular start, he only got 2 strikeouts, and that's been part of why I've been hanging around the Gibson bandwagon, is because the strikeouts have kept coming. But I still think it's a little too soon to give up on him.
Yeah, I looked at Gibson's schedule, and so you look at his last 6 starts, 4 bad ones, 2 good ones. The bad ones were at the Angels, but that was, Chris, that was when the Angels were good, not Rodon era.
They lost all those players. All those players are not on the team anymore.
Exactly.
Well, you could argue they've sort of lost Trout. I mean, he just hasn't been the same since the wrist injury.
The wrist injury, yeah.
And Pujols, I'm guessing, was probably in the middle of his otherworldly domination at that point. And I think they actually had subtraction by addition, bringing in David DeJesus and whoever else they brought in, Victorino, whatever. They're terrible. So anyway, Angels, Yankees, he cannot face the Yankees. They kill him. At Toronto, which obviously is tough, and then the Yankees again. Those were his bad ones. Good against Seattle and Texas. And his next start is at Baltimore. So I think this was a bad week to start Kyle Gibson. At the Yankees and at Baltimore. But then after that, maybe, Houston and the White Sox at home, at Kansas City, Detroit at home, Angels at home. Maybe he can turn it around. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that works for me. I think he deserves one more week with some easier matchups and see how he does against those.
All right, your news and notes now. Derek Holland set to rejoin the Rangers rotation. Do you have any interest in Derek Holland?
Not a lot.
Just the injury is so scary, but he was pretty valuable in 2013.
Yeah, 2014, he only threw 37 innings, but had a 1.46 ERA and a 1.05 WHIP. 2013, 10-9, 3.42 ERA, 189 strikeouts in 213 innings, 1.29 WHIP for Holland. Jed Jerko played shortstop last night. Something
I don't imagine that went well.
I don't know. Michael Pineda could be close to returning. Matt Wieters could be back today. Jeremy Hellickson has a glutes injury. Nori Aoki expected back Thursday. And the Marlins have Kendry Flores, Justin Nicolino, and Adam Conley in their rotation. Do you guys want any of them in fantasy?
No.
It depends how you define fantasy. I actually do own Flores in some pretty deep leagues. A deep dynasty league and an only league. But and Nicolino, I think, is ownable in those formats too. Conley, I have no interest in.
That's why you're the deep league champion, Al Melchior.
Thank you.
Today's a a nice reminder that the Marlins essentially chose Justin Nicolino over Andrew Heaney this offseason.
World's angriest Marlins fan. Champion of the deep leagues and world's angriest Marlins fan.
Oh, not angry.
On today's podcast.
I'm not capable of feeling emotions anymore.
The Marlins have done that too? Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, so we're flowing through the day's Monday's action. Let's read some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. What's that?
There are only 10 games, you know?
Yeah. We pretty much know everything already at this point of the season, right? Nothing new is going to happen.
I think so.
We're not going to see anything new.
No.
That's not true. Everything new will happen every day. Keep listening to the CBS Sports Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
That's why you're the fill-in host. All right, emails from Scott. It says, Dear Teddy, Grubby, and Gimmick. I don't know any of those guys. 12-team, 6x6 categories league.
Are they gremlins?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They sound like gremlins.
I've owned Ben Revere as a bench
player.
Teddy
Ruxpin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Teddy Ruxpin is?
No.
Are you serious?
He seems to be some kind of like bear caterpillar hybrid.
You really don't know who Teddy Ruxpin is?
I don't either.
I have no idea.
Al, I mean, I can understand that. Chris, you and I are the same age. Like, I love Teddy Ruxpin.
Wow. Yeah, there's some kind of caterpillar thing. There's an old man.
Do you know the Care Bears?
Holding a scroll. There's a fairy, and the caterpillar and the fairy seem to, like, have a relationship of some sort. No, I have no idea what this is. I've never seen this in my life.
Okay, I guess I'm the weirdo.
I never watched Care Bears either.
Okay, no, you are the weirdo. This is confirmed now.
Look, Keith doesn't like the Muppets.
Anyway, here's the... Yeah, that is
weird. Way to deflect.
Here's the question. It's a 6x6 categories league. I've owned Ben Revere as a bench player. Now that he's batting in front of Tulo, Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion, will he ever run again?
He'll jog.
He might. Would you drop Ben Revere for Delino DeShields or anyone else? Dyson, Alcides Escobar, Duba Herrera. What do you think?
I think I would drop him for Delino. And my question isn't, will he ever run again? My question is, will he ever hit again? Because since he's gone to the Blue Jays... for some reason, he's decided it's a good idea to try to hit fly balls.
Yeah, he's striking out a lot.
And he's striking out a lot. And these are my favorite August splits for Ben Revere. He has a 7% line drive rate and a 7% hard contact rate.
I mean, that sounds right for Ben Revere.
No, even for Ben Revere, those are comical.
Well, if you want to make the case for him, you know, he's slumping. So that's probably a reason why he's not stealing bases.
He's slumping hard.
Yeah. Well, Delino DeShields is a very good option, right?
Yeah.
All right, make it happen. Phil from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Oh, another Billy Joel reference, Al. 14-team Roto League with no bench spots. I have Sano and Longoria. Would you drop either of them for David Wright when he comes off the DL?
Nope.
Okay. I have Josh Harrison and Stanton. Which outfielder would you drop for those two once they return? Soler?
Sounds like he's really having some problems being patient with his DL spots. I guess the restlessness was handed down.
What is that?
It's an Allentown reference.
Oh!
It's from the song Allentown by Billy Joel. I thought you guys would pick up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I don't like that
totally
song.
Totally blew our Billy Joel credit.
It's not a very good song.
Yeah, it's not one of my
favorite. It's not one
of
his better ones.
It's a skip. Who would you drop for Josh Harrison and Giancarlo Stanton? Soler, Abascal Garcia, Michael Taylor, and Rusne Castillo.
It is not a dynasty or keeper league, right?
Correct.
All right, Abascal is definitely going to be one of mine.
I know Rusne was starting to hit a little better. When he got the call back, but I don't think he's going to play every day.
This is so easy, you guys. Come on.
Well, no, I think I follow where Chris is going. I think Rusne would be my second drop.
Oh, but Michael Taylor, you're keeping him?
Over those two? Yeah.
See, Rusne has a 918 OPS since coming back from the minors in, late July. So I might keep him over Michael Taylor.
I would keep Abascal. I would drop Taylor.
Does need stolen bases and runs.
Who's the first guy you're dropping? Because Harrison's coming off a lot sooner than Stanton.
For me, it's Avisail.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I think Taylor could give you home runs and stolen bases. I'm definitely not getting steals from Garcia. I don't think you're getting many homers either.
Well, if Span comes back, Taylor's...
I don't think he's close.
Yeah, Span. It doesn't look good. But all right, fine. Evan from St. Louis, steer Wally, Orbit, and Fred. I don't know.
No idea.
Teddy Ruxpin. 14-team head-to-head categories league. Who do you like rest of season? Gausman or Raisel Iglesias? Hopefully we can answer that one again tomorrow. But Gausman or Raisel Iglesias?
Gausman.
I agree.
Gerardo Parra or David Peralta?
Ooh. I'll go Peralta there.
Chris?
Peralta.
Yordano Ventura or Chris Tillman?
That one's easy for me. Chris Tillman.
I guess.
All right, here's a long email from John that I liked. Good email here. First, you have answered several of my questions this year. I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. I have a very stressful, fast-paced job. At the end of the day, I always put on your show. It immediately relaxes me as it helps me to focus on what really matters, taking money from my friends. Seriously, though, you guys are the best. Okay, so in my head-to-head points league, somebody dropped Michael Franco, and I feel like he's a great player in that format. So who can I drop for him? Rusnay, Victor Martinez, Ender, and Ciarte. I also have Justin Turner on my bench. I'd like to get him back in there. So I'm thinking drop Ciarte for Franco and bench Victor Martinez for Turner. Yes?
I think I like that.
So, wait a second. Castillo's starting.
I'd rather drop Rusnay Castillo.
I would too, yeah. Definitely.
Chris, what do you say? I think Hanley Ramirez is back, so
yeah,
Castillo sat yesterday. I don't know how much playing time he gets.
The playing time is a concern. On the other hand, like this is that you think they need to see what they have in Jackie Bradley, right? Like that would be the argument for him staying in the lineup over Rusnay. But Rusnay's been better in a longer stretch. You know, Jackie Bradley. I'm the Jackie Bradley guy. And over the last six or so games, he's been really good. But, you know, Rusnay, I think, is a more important part of their future. They have more invested in him than Jackie Bradley.
Are you dropping Ciarte or Rusnay?
I think I'd rather drop Ciarte.
And for a redraft league, I'd rather drop Castillo.
Now, would you bench Victor Martinez for Justin Turner?
I would not.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, I think I would.
Well, we are just not seeing eye to eye today. What happened?
But I'm reading ahead, and it sounds like he likes that.
He does. Hey, that's a good point. He says, lastly, you guys give the best DFS advice. Here's why. You disagree with each other. I've listened to other DFS-involved podcasts, and they're fine, but those segments tend to sound like a list of names being read while the host or guest nods in agreement. You guys arguing about BVP, for example, hasn't really swayed me one way or another on that topic, but it's taught me a ton about DFS in general. I feel like it gets you guys to delve deeper into your personal theories and strategies, and hearing those thoughts is very helpful. I guess what I'm saying is you're teaching men to fish. Cool.
John, well, you're a mensch.
Glad to hear that, John.
That's about the nicest email anybody could send us.
Send more nice emails.
Oh, I just got an email in the fantasy football inbox. The subject line was, podcast is better without Adam Azer.
Wow.
That's all it said. No body
so
or anything.
Clearly not from John.
No.
Is it from Chris?
No, it's from Jamie Eisenberg.
Look, man, even I don't believe that.
Last one, grade the trade from Brian in Boston. He's won FanDuel twice, so he wants us to read his email, and we will. 10-team Roto Keeper League, 3 players can be kept. Give up Garrett Cole, who can be kept for the eighth round next year, for the next 3 years, actually. Get Strasburg and Matt Duffy, who I wouldn't keep. He already has good keepers. Arrieta, Rizzo, Pollock, Chris Davis, Sano. So give up Cole, great keeper value for 3 years, and get Strasburg and Matt Duffy.
Well, he wants us to grade it. Yeah. I'm going to go B- on this.
How close is he to a championship? Even that.
Well, yeah, he's not keeping Cole. So to me, you're grading this as if it's a redraft league.
Yeah.
And I think Strasburg is a little bit of an upgrade on Cole. Duffy in a 10-team league, you know, I can take or leave him, probably leave him.
Duffy's, I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Duffy has been like a top 3 to 5 second baseman this year, hasn't he?
He has.
We just don't expect it to keep going.
We don't like Asdrubal because he's lucky, but
yeah.
Matt Duffy has, what, a 380, 390 BABIP?
Yeah, but I mean, there's value in having Matt Duffy. If you think Strasburg is a is an improvement over Gerrit Cole.
Grade it, Chris.
A B plus.
Isn't that what Al said?
I said B minus.
Oh. Okay. I'll just say B just to be average.
And self correction here, Duffy's BABIP is down to 347.
There you go.
Does that make a big difference for you?
A little bit. I still think he's fringy in a 10-team league.
How about some DFS talk then? The best DFS talk out there apparently, but we are required to disagree with each other, so do you start Clayton Kershaw tonight for $15 million out of a $60,000 budget? He's actually $13,500.
I think last time we had the DeGrom re Kershaw discussion, or
5 days
choice,
ago.
5 days ago. I think I went DeGrom, and I think that worked out pretty well. I think DeGrom had
it worked out great.
He had like a 21 point game. I think you pay up for Kershaw.
I think it was Kershaw versus Cole, if I recall, and yeah. I was reluctant to go with Kershaw, thinking that Cole could match him and he wouldn't get the win. And DeGrom, as I remember, it had a great matchup.
It was against Colorado, but it was at home. I think you go with Kershaw tonight.
Kershaw's at Oakland, and it's hard to imagine him not having an amazing start. And DeGrom is at Baltimore. They are hot right now, and granted, they just took 4 in a row from the A's, but it's obviously not nearly as good of a matchup as Kershaw has. And DeGrom is $1,800 cheaper than Clayton Kershaw.
You know, I normally, when I set a lineup, I go in and, you know, I pretty much have a very strong idea of which pitcher I want to go to. And I just build around that pitcher. I could see, I'm going to pencil Kershaw into that lineup. I mean, you don't literally, because that's not how FanDuel works.
No.
It's online. But, I could see that if I have trouble getting the hitters I want, swapping to DeGrom, because that's a heck of a price differential.
And, you know, yes. I like Lance Lynn at 9,002, home against the Giants, coming off a terrible start, but he only threw 41 pitches. Sometimes that actually is really beneficial, you know, a little extra strength, maybe. But those are the only pitchers I'd even consider tonight.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking, Kershaw. It's just there's not that many guys out there. And even though Kershaw, you can only average 2,700 with the rest of your lineup, which is really bad. It's really tough to put together a good lineup that way. But I think there are enough guys out there, if you look, that I think the upside with Kershaw going against this A's team in Oakland is so high.
Well, let me tell you about I did a Kershaw lineup, and I kind of hate it, but we'll see what happens. It could be good. John Jaso, $2,500 at Houston facing Scott Feldman. Mm. Pedro Alvarez at home facing Chase Anderson. You know, he's been hot, $2,900. Chase Utley against R.A. Dickey at home. Todd Frazier, $2,900 against Edinson Volquez. Frazier seems to be back. $2,900, good for him.
His price has plummeted.
Johnny Peralta, $2,500 facing Ryan Vogelsong. Jay Bruce, great numbers against Volquez. 7-for-14 with a home run. I know you guys are going to say it's only 14 at bats. And a double. He's $3,000. Aaron Hicks, I have an extra $100. Aaron Hicks against CeCe Sabathia for $100 more might be the way to go over Jay Bruce. Sabathia OPS against righties have like a 900-something OPS against Sabathia, but Sabathia's been better lately, and he's pitching on an extra day's rest, and that actually has been pretty helpful for him if you look at his last few starts. I love Yasiel Puig against Felix DuBrant. Righties are killing Felix DuBrant. They have an 873 OPS, and Puig is 2,800, and I couldn't find anyone else I like, so I just went with Billy Hamilton. You never know. Could steal some bases. He's $2,400. So it's not great lineup, but it's Kershaw. And I'm just basically taking guys who are facing pitchers that I could see having bad starts tonight.
Yeah. I don't think you had no Nationals in there, right?
And I actually got the Coors. No, they're too expensive. Yeah,
they got the Coors salary bump.
The only guy in that game that I saw, I didn't do an extensive look, that you could think about starting is Paulson. He's 31 or 3,200. But Rendon's like 3,400.
Yeah, see, I think that's a pretty good price for him.
It is. It's just it, with Kershaw, I'd need like a $2,200 guy. Ian Desmond's 4,000. I was thinking about maybe Tommy Pham, actually. I think he's 2,200. And I have to see the lineup first. But if he's in the lineup, maybe hitting toward the top of the order against Vogelsong, he might be able to get a couple of fantasy points out of Pham. Anything else for you guys? I don't know if you made your lineup yet or anything.
No, I haven't. And I'm looking at, Cubs versus Tigers, because with Anibal going, I think that you could have some Cubs. That would be a good tournament play. And again, being a tournament play, I'm probably not going with Kershaw or DeGrom.
Oh,
so
Coughlin. How about Coughlin? 2,700.
For who?
Chris Coughlin.
Yeah, I was thinking him. Schwarber, 36. Solera, 29.
Yeah.
Brian, to 34.
Yeah, they're not overpriced at all. You could definitely figure out. I'm going to have to rely on the show at 4 p.m. to get some like $2,200, $2,300 guys. I think Alcides Escobar is really cheap.
All right, let me toss out a couple of those guys.
Okay.
The Marlins are going against, good gravy Tyler Cravey.
Yes.
I didn't say it last time for you, so there it is.
Thank you.
Justin Bour is 2,300. Derek Dietrich is 2,500. And, Marcell Ozuna is 2,200.
Woo.
So I like all those guys. You mentioned Puig for 2,800. I think I like Jerry Sands for 2,200 going against Eduardo Escobar. It's a very small sample size, but he has a 940. What?
Eduardo Rodriguez?
Is that what I say?
Escobar, the shortstop.
Eduardo Rodriguez. I would like Jerry Sands even more.
I would too.
If Eduardo Escobar, the shortstop, was pitching. But
guys, finish up, Chris. I have to, I'm getting kicked out of the room. I am an idiot, and I forgot to reserve the room today, so that's on me. So wrap
942 OPS for Jerry Sands against lefties. So there's a $2,200 guy.
Hey, that's Chris Towers and Al Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We're back tomorrow with another podcast. Watch Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. See you later.
Bye.